Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC football.
Let's go.
Happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast, presented by Ingles, the official supermarket of Gramlich and McLean. Mac, it has been a minute since we've kind of recorded, because we recorded some in a row to get ready for March Madness, and it is good to be back and chatting. This is what happens with Mac and I when we start to record a podcast. We say, let's record at X time. And then after chatting for 20 minutes, then we actually start recording the podcast. So hello, Mac.
Hey, you know, it's what we got to do. You got to catch up on business, catch up on personal. The interesting thing, though, that this is a little actually concerning. We didn't talk once about our children. So that's kind of weird. We kind of do that sporadically anyway, though, but that's kind of weird. A lot of business. There was a lot of business to get to discussing.
My kid's good. Is your kid good?
She's great.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so we're doing good. All right, we checked that box. But yeah, it's great to see you. This is the busiest time of your life. I know that, but it seemed to be fun. It looked like you guys were having a big time in Greensboro and tearing it up. You know what? I'm not going to bring it up. Go ahead. Tell us about Greensboro. How was it?
What were you going to say?
Just a little disappointed. I know it wasn't your fault, but I was a little disappointed in not bringing home the trophy of 3-point champion. Because I've never lost a 3-point shootout on TV, but you know, you did. So that kind of stinks.
I can't believe that didn't come up in our pre-show chat.
I didn't want to bring it up. I knew it was as soon as I ventured out there, I'm like,
listen. It had to be done. Okay. First of all, did you actually see it on TV or did it glitch out?
I saw the replay. I did not see it on TV.
Oh, there was a replay. Where was the replay?
I'll find the link. I'll send it to you.
Oh, okay, cool.
There's a whole link.
Great. Love that. Okay, so apparently there was some issue where like my shooting glitched out and then it just showed Ivory. And then Debbie was like, Kelly already shot, but no one saw it. So I did hear that. Here's what happened. So I was getting up shots that day. So Ivory and I went to like the practice gym at different times when we didn't have TV that day to get some shots up.
Wait, y'all didn't go together? Y'all didn't go together? You went at different times?
No, because we had different halftime.
Oh, somebody was on. Okay, I get that. I understand that.
So when I went, I was feeling good. I made quite a few shots. I was feeling great. And maybe I wasted them all there. That being said.
That sounds like me going to a golf course and I'm so good on the driving range. And then I get to the course and it's just, I've ruined it.
Which happens.
It does.
If you do watch the replay, wherever Mac found this, you would notice that every shot I miss is short. Every shot. Now, it is truly amazing when you're not playing every day and the 3-point line has been moved back, which is brutal. Both Ivory and I, this is brutal. How you just, like, I just felt weak. Like, it was really weird. And I did just have a baby. That was probably part of it. But, it was just so odd. And it was funny because the practice court where we shot, it had the old 3-point line. So I was feeling good.
Oh,
no. But I was trying to shoot behind. I was trying to shoot further behind it to get ready. But like shooting from that 3-point line, I felt great. So you know what? These are just excuses. I will add another excuse for you.
Add the real excuse, because when I saw this part, I'm like, what are we doing? Get her the ball. There was no rhythm.
There was no rhythm and the mascots. So Duke and Georgia Tech were playing. They insisted the mascots rebound us, which we wanted to have other people, but they said no. So the Blue Devil and the Yellow Jacket were trying to rebound this basketball. I go out there and I go first. So these guys have no clue what they're doing. And I see Buzz, the Yellow Jacket, right? I'm like, Buzz, throw me a practice pass. So I throw the ball to Buzz. This was not on TV. Hits him in the face.
Knocks his mascot head off.
Yes, it hit him in the stinger or whatever. And then he picks the ball up. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm like setting my feet, like throw me a practice pass. He picks the ball up and Mac, he throws it right at my feet. Like I can't even, he throws it right at my feet. And I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. I got quite a few less shots. That being said, no excuses. I should have made more. I only made 2. Which is embarrassing.
How many did you shoot? Two out of what?
I really don't know. Like maybe 2 for 8, I think.
Oh, yikes. Hey, keep
shooting. No, it's not good. Look, it's not good. It's not good. All right? I'm very clear. It's not good. Ivory ended up, she missed her first couple and then she made like 5 in a row.
Yeah.
But It was a fun time. And I will say, again, these are just all excuses. Like, call me on it. I'm just giving you excuse after excuse. Ivory Latta is one of the best college women's college basketball players of all time. All-time three-point leader, all-time ACC leader in three-point makes. I didn't even know that till Debbie was doing the intro, and I thought, oh, God.
Whoa. Whoops.
But
thought she was a slasher.
No, I knew she was good. We had fun. It was for the kids, Mac. But yes, yeah, good. It was good not great fun. To lose.
Yeah. Our three-point not contests great. Were not for the kids. They were strictly – it was strictly for me. And, it's just what we did.
I think we all have that moment where we realize we're washed up and old.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think it really hit me.
No. And you did get a great jersey out of it, though. Great jersey and some
Clemson
kicks.
Clemson hooked me up.
Yeah.
It's a really awesome. Cool jersey, a purple jersey, and some kicks. So shout out to Clemson. They treated me well. Do you know who clowned me on via messages and in person?
Better not have been William Quackenbush.
No.
A chucker.
Only certain people will get that. Georgia Amor. She clowned me. So she's warming up. She's warming up the next game. It's like the 11 a.m. And she's making shots from that spot. And I was like, and I just yelled like, at her.
She's not even looking. She's staring at you just bang.
Just like. And I'm doing the game. She walks by and I yelled at her. I'm like, what's up, five? You know, something like that. And she goes, I've made more shots in this warm-up than you did in that contest. Oh. And I was like, okay, all right. We'll see if I say nice things about you on this broadcast.
Right, there you go. Yeah, you control it. You control it all.
Well, Mac, thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yeah, sorry.
All that being said, I think I'm going to probably go to Ingles and drown my sorrows. I don't know in which way I could hit their amazing adult beverage section. I could hit their amazing candy section. You know I love some candies if I need that to get me through.
Yeah, some Twizzlers. Go get some Twizzlers.
Honestly, some Twizzlers would help me out at this time. I could get their homemade guac. That would really help. So yes. I've got a variety of things I could get there, Mac.
Well, and that's just what you get there. Great transition, partner. That's why
Thank
we
you.
Pay you the big
I'm trying to get off fantastic. The subject.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I do want to tell the people, look out on Instagram tonight because I'm going to have a big old steak. I cannot wait. Going to Ingles. Actually, I already went to Ingles. And have it ready. And it's going to be good. So be on the lookout. You'll see it everywhere on my Instagram. That's the only hint that I'm giving you. And we've got some stuff to talk about today, Katie.
Yes, because, we do.
Again, you've been the busiest person on the earth. We've pushed this just a little bit. But the combine happened since you or the Underwear Olympics happened since you were at that great tournament. And we have a ton to talk about. Really what we're going to focus on, because, you know, I went back and forth on this. Do I want to do risers and fallers and great and bad? No, we're just going to highlight the good. So these are some guys that we've kind of spotlit that did amazing, did really good at their position, had some great numbers. We're going to go through each and every one of them here in a second, but quickly a message from our friends over at Ingles, and then we're going to get to it.
Did you know that Ingles sells more organics than any other store, or that they run their own dairy, or that they only serve USDA Choice and Prime meat? Did you know that they have more local craft beer than any place else, or that they have Energy Smart stores, or that they professionally slice and package imported cheese from Europe? Did you know about their giant international aisle, local farm partnerships, curbside pickup, wine department, or that they donate 3,956 meals a day to local food banks? Well, now you do. It's all in the bag. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
All right, Mac, let's get into some of these winners of the combine. Now, we will talk about all these prospects, whether they've competed in the combine or not, on later episodes. We're going to have some draft analysts on. We're going to have some of these guys specifically on the pod. So just stay tuned for all that. Coming up soon, interviews with Mac, which he's done an awesome job handling these while I'm doing basketball. Braden Fisk coming up on the pod from Florida State. Graham Barton from Duke, seen him in some first rounds. And then Jeremiah Trotter from Clemson, also seen him in some first rounds. And then Fisk maybe also getting some first round buzz. So make sure, Buzz, it just gave me PTSD. Buzz, the mascot. make sure you guys are getting ready for those episodes. Those will be coming out next week. So let's just go through. We organize these by school. This will be the easiest way. These are the big winners of the NFL Combine, Mac. Let's start with the guys from BC, the Elijah Jones, the corner, and Christian Mahogany, offensive guard, who we've had on our show many times. Both did really well. Elijah Jones with the highest vertical at the combine.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being able to jump 43 inches in the air. Like I just physically cannot imagine that. And then Mahogany also had a really good day. How did these guys help themselves, Matt?
Yeah, well, I'm right there with you. I mean, that sounds like you're going to hurt yourself jumping that high, right? Like, you got to come back down, okay? It's pretty brutal. But yeah, Elijah, I mean, turned some heads with that explosive ability. I mean, 4.4, kind of standard. You know, everybody wants faster, but 4.4 is great. I mean, that's fantastic speed. And then the explosion, I just think showing how great of an athlete you are with the 10-plus, 10-11, plus broad jump there, 43 inches, again, tied for first in the entire combine. People are going to look at that and be like, yep, that fits right here. That's perfect. Right. That's what we need. And then, of course, his tape is going to marry there, which is exciting because that's what you want people to do. And honestly, this is a big thing of what the combine's for. Like, these just freaky dudes that can do crazy stuff that just blows people away and gets you a chance. You know, a lot of it is obviously film. Can you play football? But then when your numbers are in the 1%, that's where people are like, okay, maybe we can squeeze a little bit more out of this player. Maybe than what we saw in college or in the other ranks. So that's what I think is great for Elijah. Our guy Christian killed it. I mean, looked fantastic. Some people maybe were worried about weight going into it, but he looked awesome. 6'3", 315, ran a 5'1". I mean, that's moving. 33-inch vertical for a big man. That's awesome. He's dunking a basketball with ease. And then the short shuttle right at 4.5, which was fantastic to see. So he was the second. Some of these numbers that you're going to hear from us, kind of how the combine, when they add everything up, how they are ranked, he was the number two guard via the scores. And so that's awesome. I mean, for a guy to be able to, you know, have the tape that he does, hasn't given up a sack in years, okay, and then you see his physical ability and what he can do running around. I think he made him some great money. There was probably some, you know, some first-round talk maybe a couple of years ago. It's just weird how it goes, you know, and things move differently. I think Christian, again, is going to be a starter on an NFL team sooner than not. I don't know maybe if quite plug and play, but he's going to be there. He's going to be just fine. So excited for both those guys.
And he has for some of these guys that we've talked to, I think we can say this, like, he's going to interview really well, Christian Mahogany. Yeah. And I'm sure he already did at the combine. Like, you're going to talk to him and you're going to want him on your team. So he has that as well.
Yeah. And I think that's another piece about this, KG. You know, we're just kind of touching, you know, numbers right now and saying how great these guys did, what they, you know, were able to accomplish on the field. The combine is a long time. I mean, you were legitimately there a week doing medical evals all day long, doing interviews, formal, informal, going to dinner, doing all these things. Where it's a big test. It's a mental test the entire time. And then, you know, you go on the field and perform. You'll see a little bit more of that light kind of shown in these latter or later episodes when we're talking to the guys one-on-one. But right now, we're just touching numbers. But I totally agree with you. Christian in a room with execs, he's good. Like, he's doing his thing. They're going to want him on his team.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about a couple of Clemson guys that really helped themselves at the combine. Nate Wiggins. 4.2 40-yard dash, the second fastest at the combine out of anybody, 36-inch vert, seen him in some first-round mocks. And then Rook, 4.8 40-yard dash, pretty good for 6'4", 294 for Rook. Yeah. So I thought both these guys, especially Nate Wiggins, really helped themselves. It's kind of what you're saying. Like, Nate Wiggins, you can look at him and say, freak of nature, and we're going to maybe take him a little higher than we thought.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think that, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Nate's film is great, right? Like, that dude can shut it down, and he has in his bag, in his, you know, kind of highlight reel there, the hawk down against Miami, stripped the ball out, a Miami guy fell on it, and then against North Carolina, you know, a back that was just hauling. He comes out of nowhere, pops that ball out right on the goal line, fumbled touchback, Clemson's ball.
Saves the game.
So we knew that he was fast. And Coach Sweeney has talked about it for years. He's the fastest guy on the team. And you're just like, okay, what does that mean? Like, how fast are we? And to see it at Indy, you know, on that turf, which people love it, people hate it, whatever, laser time official, 4.28. I mean, that's crazy. He was flying. And it's one of those things, too, where obviously the ticker's there and you know, you know, where they are exactly. But when he took off, I'm just like, whoa, this is about to be a really good time. So he represented, again, that explosive nature, 36-plus-inch vertical at 6'1.5". I mean, that's great. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants that size and explosive nature. And I think he's going to end up in the first round. Big corner, Obviously, Clemson has a great pedigree of the, you know, defensive backs that they've put in into the NFL. And, you know, that matters too. I mean, people look at that helmet and, you know, they care. How's this guy built? What is he made of? Things of that nature. And that kind of goes hand in hand very favorably for Ruka Roro as well. I mean, size, you got it. I mean, 6'4", 300 pounds, freak of nature. And then you add a 4'8" for an interior defensive lineman. I mean, that's really good. And then the strength, obviously, with 29 reps on the bench press and a 32-inch vertical. I mean, that's a scary-looking dude, you know, when you see his ability and the things that he's able to do. And that's been there. The weird thing about Rook is he's been so solid, his whole career, but he never was like the superstar. Never like pop. Just because Clemson, Clemson has just had so many guys, but he's made plays. I mean, I remember him hawking down, Malik Cunningham at Louisville. I'm just like, that's a 300 pounder step for step with that guy. Like that's crazy to see. And so I think he's going to be a guy that, you know, has a better pro career than he did Clemson. And he had a great career at Clemson. It's just, it's kind of weird. It was overshadowed, you know, by other first rounders that came before him last year. And now he has a chance. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. I'd be hard to say he gets past day two, but again, the bulk of your draft, that's where it happens. Day two, day three.
Yeah, definitely. And that's how you win, is to draft guys on those days that can really help you. What about Florida State? And why don't we start with Braden Fisk, who I think really helped himself at the combine. And, you know, he's really rated high with his athleticism, 4.8, 40-yard dash. I think he's proven, you know, it was a seamless transition for him from Western Michigan to Florida State. So wherever he's gone, he's been able to transition really well. And so I think that can help him too. But it feels like he was truly one of the biggest winners.
No, it's arguably the winner of the combine. I think you're exactly right there with the things he did. And I do have to correct you. I'm sorry. I never do this. 4.78. That seven is important.
4.8.
4.78. And maybe it glitched out. Hey, maybe it's technology. Maybe you said it. Maybe you said 4.78. I don't know. But he's excited about that. And you'll see what I mean, guys, in a week or so when you see that interview that we do with Braden. He wanted it bad.
He wanted under 4.8.
Yeah, he wanted 4.7, and he got it. He got that 4.7 number.
We'll give it to him.
That's right. He's jacked up about it. You talk about athletic score. He was the number one defensive tackle in regards to athleticism score. I don't know how they get that. I don't know what the difference between that and combine ranking score is. I don't know. He was first in athleticism, third in overall for defensive tackles. I mean, he did great. And measurables are all there. This dude is a nasty defensive tackle. And, you know, I think when you see his motor, you expect it. I mean, I didn't expect him to run a 4.7, sub 5 flat for sure. Thought there would be a 4 in front of his number, but that's moving. I mean, this guy has a lot of different skill sets, and it translated to the fun stuff, to the underwear Olympics. And again, just his confidence. I'm trying not to give away all the secrets to the interview that you guys will see in a week or so. But he was so good. And you're going to love that episode. I think it's clear why he might sneak into the first round. It would be really cool to see that.
Okay, well, speaking of potential first rounders, how about Jared Verse? And we see so many guys here for Florida State, and it just kind of reminds you of the roster they had last year.
Right.
But this guy, 4.5 at 6'4", 254, 31 bench reps. That's fifth most in the whole combine. Rated really well. It feels like he lived up to his billing at the underwear Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, again, you talk about a guy who was so successful in college and on all the lists, all the teams. Right. I think there's another level. I really do. I think his best football is still in front of him. And that's exciting. That's where you start to see just how special these first round draft picks are, because it's guys like that. You know, for me, it's, is he top 10? Is he top 15? You know, where does he get selected? Where does he go? Because he is a fantastic athlete, a fantastic defensive end, the perfect size, 6'4", 250, give me that. 4.5, bonus. Like, that's great. This guy's a freaky player. And, you know, I think only going to get better. The explosive nature is there, 30-plus inch vertical, 31 reps, as you mentioned. So he's big and strong. He's a great guy. I cannot wait to see where he ends up. And it was fun to see the back and forth between he and Trey Benson, who Trey kind of, you know, screen grabbed his time and said, well, I guess we know who's faster, because Trey Benson out here, you know, this massive running back, 6 foot, 220,
he's
running a 4.32.
He's like 40 less pounds.
Hey, it's okay. It's okay. Whatever it takes. You can't catch me. You can't catch me. He was super impressive too. Number one running back. And again, these I should have dug deeper on what the heck does this mean? Combine ranking.
It's probably like the net ranking, like 70 billion different metrics that nobody understands.
Yeah, exactly. No one knows. No one knows. But hey, when you're number one, you're number one.
You're number one. For sure. And Trey Benson had a massive showing for him. A 4.3 40, to your point, faster than Jared Verse. Number one combine ranking for running backs. That's really interesting.
Not bad.
Again, not quite sure exactly how they do that, but rising up the ranks. And we know how teams love a running back on a rookie deal. We know how teams love that.
That they do. That they do, KG.
One more Florida State guy. Johnny Wilson, he ran a 4.52. He's just, again, what you're looking for, that guy who has potential upside, who shows kind of that freak of nature ability. And he just looks the part at 6'6", 231. Like how many, you don't see many body types like that that can actually play wide receiver in the NFL. I think that really helps him.
Yeah. No, 1,000%. I mean, that was the most interesting thing to me. And I was kind of saying, okay, is he going to move to tight end? How does he run? You know, is he going to run a 4.6, 4.7? And he said, no, man, I'm running a 4.5. That was excellent. I mean, that was super impressive. And then to run a 4.1, 5, you know, 10.5 short shuttle, the change of direction, the quickness, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a guy that big. Oh, by the way, KG, 6.5. And he has a 37-inch vertical. So, you know, have fun. Have fun with that. Mismatch nightmare. Basketball player, go up and get it. I think he had a great day. He you know, won it. You know, his individuality, the things that he wanted to do, and he made it happen. And I think that was great for him. Going to really, you know, jump up on some people's boards because of that number. I mean, it is a big deal. And one guy, I do want to mention this because I think it is important. And it's not critical. It's just a fact. Mm-hmm. You know, and Keon Coleman ran slow. And I'm sure at Pro Day he's going to run much better. But the interesting thing to me about that, and a lot of people are going to want to point this out or, you know, kind of look at, oh, it's time. You know, okay, he's not a first rounder. You can't take him. There's no way. In the drills, KG, where they're tracking your speed and how you're running miles per hour, he was the only wide receiver in the whole thing that got over 20 miles an hour while running routes, while playing football. He was the fastest guy. So that has to matter. Football speed has to matter to me. And maybe it was just a bad start. Maybe it was bad. Whatever it is, who knows, with the 40. It is important. People are going to look at it, and maybe it moves him down a spot or two in regards to what receiver he's picked. But if he makes up for it at Pro Day, if he gets to that 4.4 or 4.5, whatever, he'll be just fine. But the impressive thing to me was, number one, by far, 20-plus miles an hour in the actual football drills. That has to matter.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I saw that his 40 was disappointing, and that's all that people seem to want to talk about. But maybe the speed that he's playing football at should matter more than just the track.
Because to me, that shows that he's confident catching the football.
Yeah.
Like he's running full speed doing football things. That's much more important to me than a straight line with your underwear on.
Right, because that's not ever really going to happen. And look, we saw what he
never
did at Florida
It will never
State.
Happen.
We saw the proof.
That's right.
We saw the proof. Dude is a monster. Okay, let's hit on a few more of these guys that really won. How about Isaac Garrido from Louisville, who came onto the scene last year? I remember specifically his massive game against Notre Dame and just how well he played. 4.3 40-yard dash. That's big. 41.5-inch vertical. Unbelievable. He had the third fastest overall 40 at the combine. That really helps him.
No, 1,000%. Well, what it does is it kind of pissed me off because I wanted to see this guy more
at
Louisville. Let's get him the ball.
On?
Yeah, I mean, this is freaky, the things that he was able to do, the explosive nature. And again, we saw it. It was just in a small dose.
Right.
I wanted more. I needed more. And I think same thing that I've said about a couple of these guys. I think he has a chance to have a much better pro career and an absolute battering ram. I mean, at 6 foot, 220 plus, he can probably even put on some weight. Obviously, he has the speed. He's going to be a weapon. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how does a team want to use him.
Yeah.
But if you can turn into that three down back, catch the ball and block, which obviously you have the size to do so, the home run speed is there. I mean, that's the third fastest time, as you said, in the entire combine. And that's people aren't opting out of 40s, right? Like guys that run. And they want to do that and they want to put on a show. And he did that big time. So excited to see what's the future look like for Isaac Garrido for sure.
Yeah, and it kind of does make you wonder, like, why wasn't he he was featured more towards the end of the year, but that was because of injuries too. So, and then he was getting more time. One of our favorites who we've had on the pod, who is going to go down forever as an NC State legend, is really climbing up boards. Peyton Wilson, 4.43 40-yard dash, the fastest linebacker. Second in combine rankings amongst linebackers. Really good vertical. I'm assuming he interviewed super well. This is a guy where you see all the success he had in college. You see the leadership values and skills and stuff. And it feels like people are seeing what we all saw from Peyton Wilson.
Right, right. I saw that number and I about jumped out of the house. I mean, I was so excited. I mean, at 4.4, did not think that he was going to be that fast. That was awesome. Yeah. And we've seen it. I mean, he's hawk guys down. He's made these crazy high motor plays. But again, I mean, 4.4 is some real speed, especially at the linebacker position, especially for like a long rangy guy, at 6'4", 230 plus. So that was fantastic. Peyton Wilson is arguably the best defensive player in this draft. He won every award you can win on every team. Has had multiple 100 season tackles. The football side of it is fine. If that was all it was based on, he's probably a top 10 pick. Mm. The interesting thing that's going to float into here, KG, is what were the medicals like?
Yeah.
Because obviously that guy's been hurt a lot.
Right.
He's played a lot of football. He's a little bit older. It'll be interesting to see how does that affect it. But he was great this year. He was super healthy. I hope that all that is in his past and doesn't have to worry about it at all. Because I think there's no way he gets out of the second round. I mean, he's too good of a player. And, you want a guy like that, a leader, a guy that is obviously very comfortable and strong in his faith, that I think that matters. And that translates to the football field really well. So excited to see where he ends up. He tested fantastic. I don't think he couldn't have had a better day.
Yeah.
It was great to see him execute at a high level for all those things.
That's how you take advantage of the combine right there if you're Peyton Wilson. All right, let's talk about a few more guys. How about from North Carolina, Tez Walker and Cedric Gray? Tez Walker, a guy that honestly I feel like we didn't get to see as much of at UNC as we wish, but a 4.3 40, a 40 and a half inch vert, which is ridiculous. And then Cedric Gray, he tested really well too. These two triangle linebackers in Wilson and Gray testing really well, Matt.
Yeah, they did. And to talk about Gray first, I mean, moved really, really well. I think that was maybe not quite a concern, but something that was going to be interesting, just how he tested, because that was probably one thing that people said side to side is something that they want to look at and pay attention to. I think he crossed all of that off the board with his explosive nature, all these numbers, the vertical, the 40, the shuttles, the broad jump, things of that nature. He did really well. And then there's this third one. This is the first one that I have in here. Number one production linebacker at the combine. Don't know what that means. I don't know, but he's number
combine
one.
Combine production, so he gets to talk linebacker.
About whatever. Hey, maybe he tested well. Matt, I don't know. Maybe, he took the IQ test.
He led the combine in tackles.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It's unbelievable. So he's producing number three overall combine ranking. So I love it and think that he's going to be a guy that can play for a long time. I mean, you talk about what does the perfect football player look like? That's it. Compact, has some range to him. He's a great player. And then Tez, I mean, it's one of those things. I feel like the tape showed it at different times, but it just wasn't enough, right?
Yeah.
We didn't get enough of what we thought we were going to get in this guy that runs 4.3s and has a 40-plus inch vertical. I mean, I thought it was going to be blouses every other route, just taking it to the house and scoring TDs. And again, a guy that has an opportunity. It's a passing league. People love guys that can run and jump, right? And then they're going to give them opportunity. So if you can take advantage of that, that's one thing that the testing is going to get people's ears kind of perked up, maybe a lot like it was preseason, thinking, okay, we got something here in Tez Walker. Let's just get him into the system and see what he can do.
Yeah. And speaking of UNC, Drake May, of course, didn't do anything at the combine.
Just showed up and looked good.
Yeah. We'll talk more about Drake May with some guests and things of that and things of that nature. And maybe we might even get him on.
Hey, come on, Drake. Come on over.
But he still is projecting very, very high. So more to come on Drake May. And then one more guy you wanted to hit on, Mac. Bub Means from Pitt, the wide receiver. We know Pitt had a down year, so probably a lot of people are not really paying attention to him. But he has huge hands and he's getting some buzz.
Yeah, a lot of buzz. And this is what's so fun. This is like peak combine conversation. I wanted to throw this in here because Bud Means is actually a very interesting prospect. He went to Tennessee, was a defensive back, then went to La Tech, switched to wide receiver, then goes to Pitt and does some things. I mean, we always maybe expected a little bit more, but because of lackluster quarterback play, you know, he just wasn't able to be on full display. And then he comes to the combine, has the biggest hands anyone's ever seen, jumps out of the gym and runs a 4.440. It has long arms. I mean, it's crazy. Scouts are kind of looking like, what can we do with this guy?
Yeah.
Because the measurables are there. And I think that that's really intriguing, especially when you get kind of in the fourth and fifth round. That's where we can start seeing some interesting things happen. And does a team take, you know, something and say, oh, we're going to play him at DB? No, he's a wide receiver. We're going to play him at DB. And at the end of the day, for me, just get on the field. Just get on a team. Do whatever you can and, make this thing happen. So Bud Means, you know, is on a lot of people's lists, and it's going to be fun to see what he's able to do.
Kind of moving forward, KG. I'll play wherever. You guys let me know. That's right. Let me know what you want me to do. Me and my massive hands will be there.
That's right. KG, I think we need to do, you know, kind of a combine with the hands and the arm length and see how you and I stack up with some of these elite
humans. I would
humans.
Be intrigued. Your hands are probably massive.
I think, you know, they're big.
Did you ever measure your hands?
Yeah, but I don't remember.
Okay, we need to do
I'm
this.
Sure, we
then.
Can go find
For sure,
somewhere.
We need to do this.
Yeah.
Vertical jump. Yeah. No, thanks.
Can you still swipe a credit card underneath? That's all we need to know. That's all we need to know.
Yes. You know, I'm trying to get back into pre-pregnancy shape. You know, we're working on it.
Okay. Whatever it takes. Just get me on a pickleball court. That's what we need to do. Okay. So this is a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun. Short and sweet. Hit a bunch of guys. A lot more to come leading up to the NFL draft. Next week, we're starting our prospect series. You guys are going to love this. Some really fun, you know, informative conversations with these guys and really peeling back the curtain. I love the realness that these guys laid out for us, and you'll love it too. It's a bunch of fun. So check it out on Monday. We get it cranked up. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We need your continued support. Go over to YouTube, subscribe, jump in the comments section. Tell us your favorite prospect. If we missed anybody who did well at the combine,
tell
love
us
to hear
what your 40-yard dash would be.
Please, and be real. Don't lie. We'll find you. And we need your help over there. And of course, DOGs on Apple Podcasts as well. Rate, review, subscribe there. We would greatly appreciate that. But until next time, we'll see you.